is your king of your life? Depends on which kingdom you belong to. You do have a king. You do have the Lord. Who is the king of your life? And I'm really asking this question not to just... I don't want you to brush this off. Who is the king of your life? Do you have a king? Okay? This kingdom that Jesus taught us in prayer, since Jesus came, it has been advancing. It's advancing right now, with, without us. I want you to know. His kingdom is advancing. And the second thing I would like to mention is this kingdom is an eternal kingdom. Are you part of that kingdom? Who's the king of your life? Okay? So, as we are learning to pray through the Lord's Prayer, I want to just review. To pray, number one, is to commune with God. Commune. Look up here, please. Yeah. And I really ask of you, because I want to speak to you. I don't want to speak to the wall. Okay? It is to commune with the person of God. And what does that word mean, commune? It is to communicate, okay? Closely and intimately, to share your thoughts, feelings, plans, and the heart. Can I ask you, do you have anybody in your life you do that? You really share your thoughts? You really share your feelings? You share your plans, your emotions, closely, intimately, and your heart with someone? Do you have anyone? Oh, I'm married. I know I didn't ask you whether you're married or not, because marriage does not automatically give that. In fact, the intimacy in marriage is impossible without dealing with sin, don't you think? Because sin makes you hide. Sin makes you not transparent. Sin makes you perform. Sin makes you selfish. So it does not happen because of marriage. But I'm questioning you whether you have someone in your life to communing with. Amazingly, prayer is communing with the living God as your heavenly Abba. Just think about it, people. The object of our prayer is two incredible topics. One is our Father in heaven. One has to do with like real loving, close intimacy, Daddy. And the other one has to do with greatness and sovereignty. And they just come together. That's the object of our prayer. And you're communing with Him. If you draw close to Him, you're going to understand His heart, His feelings, His plans, His thoughts. Okay? So communing means drawing close, lifting up your eyes to see Him. Do you do that? Or do you look down all the time? Do you look up to see Heavenly Father, or do you look down all the time? Do you have a communing person in your life? So that's communing, praying with God, which we are called to do, believe it or not, at all times. Okay, Thessalonians says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. That's work of Holy Spirit, people. That's work of Holy Spirit. Even right now, as you're listening, are you tuning off? You don't want to look at me? Not anything personal, but perhaps you can't. Lord wants to speak to you because He loves you. Otherwise, there is no life or hope in you. Secondly, praying, number one, is communing. And I want to say something that I've been sharing since New Heart has begun, 14 years ago, 15 years ago, as one of the core values. To pray is to be alive. Is to be alive. Without prayer, you're not really alive. Wow, that's so dramatic and offensive. Well, the teaching comes from, not from my head, from teaching of the scripture of Gethsemane. When Jesus, our Lord, was praying right before the cross, and He was praying with His might. Do you remember that? So, like, desperate. His heart was so troubled, and he was praying, and he asked his disciples to pray for him. And what were they doing? They were sleeping. How many of you are sleeping? You know, people come to prayer meetings, they fall asleep. Their minds, they wander around. You can't really focus. You can't. What do you mean praying for an hour? Like, how many of you have a trouble meeting someone and for like coffee or lunch, and you have trouble, you run out of things to talk with your close friend? It never happens. How come? How come? And yet we run out of things to say with God in few minutes. Why? You think about it. You answer the question. So the disciples were falling asleep. Then Jesus said to them twice, these key words, Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, stay awake, don't fall asleep, stay awake, gregope, and pray so that you may not fall into temptation. This is a great statement, okay? Temptation meaning you do not live for the will of God. You just live whatever the kind of life. You don't take up the cross. Imagine Jesus did not take up the cross. Then there is no Christianity, there's no salvation, there is no church, there's nothing. Your life too, right? Pray so that you will not fall into temptation. In other words, if you're not praying, you're always in the temptation. You are swimming in the temptation. You're living for your own purpose. Can you imagine that? You are wallowing in the temptation, sin, basically. That's what Jesus is saying. But the words, two words that I want to focus on is to stay awake and pray. Stay awake is to be alive. The word stay awake is gregope. It has two meanings. One is to stay awake, don't fall asleep. Okay? And also to be alive. You know, there are words like that in English. There are words like that in every language. There's one word, but there are two meanings. Right? Stay awake, gregope, also means alive. But if you notice in the Bible interchangeably used those two words. Do you remember when Lazarus was dead in John chapter 11? Jesus said, hey, let's go to Bethany to wake him up. Wake him up. But he's dead. But Bible says he's sleeping. In Thessalonians, when the Lord returns, those who went to the Lord and who are sleeping, referring to those who are dead. So deadness and sleeping, interchangeable. And being alive and stay awake is interchangeable. So if you're praying, you're alive. To pray is to be alive. Can you imagine? You're drawing close and communing with Heavenly Father, and He's our Father. You're always communicating with Him. Otherwise, you're so lonely, hopeless, dark. Don't you see it? You're in darkness. Kingdom of darkness. Often scripture uses the expression interchangeably, sleeping is dead and stay awake is alive. So he's saying, stay alive. Sounds like a song. Stay alive, right? And pray so that you will not live in temptation. Okay, so you as a Christian, as a person, as a life, we as a church, if we are to be alive, we need to be commune with the Lord. I personally believe it is the deepest, deepest joy of human soul. I personally believe. It is not a work. It is not a like drudgery, because you love Him. You fall in love with Him. You get to know Him. If you know Him, you will love Him. The person you walk away is because you do not know Him. Okay? So, prayer is to commune, prayer is to be alive, and you commune with Abba. How many of you do that? If you're learning to do that, if you desire to do that as we go through this season, would you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, that was pretty solid. Yeah, last week it was kind of, you know. So, we go into today's topic, Your Kingdom Come, okay? And I want to show this, and I like this presentation. June is a graphic designer. What do you think? This is pretty good, right? Look at this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name and your kingdom come. That's how he taught Christians to pray. Number one thing, the first thing that we see is we pray because we are his children. This prayer doesn't work. Christian prayer doesn't work unless you are children of God, unless you have the right to be a children of God. It doesn't work. All religion pray, but Jesus taught to pray in Jesus' name, our Father in heaven. And we talked about hallow, which means to be sanctified or glorified. Okay? The first thing, the motive of your entire prayer, the basis of the entire prayer is glory his name. His name, his person to be glorified. I hope that's your desire too in your whole life. That's what this prayer does, right? Today we look at the second line, your kingdom come. Kingdom of God. I love. Could you just stay there? If you are praying your kingdom come, you assume there is a king. Do you want that king to be a king of your life? How many of you want that king to be king of your life? Would you say amen? Otherwise, you're not going to pray this. You are not going to pray this. You don't want to pray this. Right? So what does that mean, your kingdom come? What do we know about the kingdom? First of all, Scripture is clear, would you listen to this? That God is king, sovereign, and rule and reigns throughout history, all creation and in nature, from the beginning to the end, and now. It didn't change. And that's going to be the case to the end. In other words, he is the king. And it is not kind of like apologetically said to you or try to explain it to you, but it was just declared to you. Scripture is clear about that, Old and New Testament. Do you realize the Bible does not try to explain creation? How did everything begin? We try to figure things out, right? And Bible is not apologetic towards you. Bible doesn't beg you to believe it. Bible says, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. In other words, you believe this. Or else, you become God, right? You are in the same plane with God and basically try to evaluate God. And what is your basis of your thoughts? Where is that coming from? Scripture says, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, and the lordship and kingship. When we say, God is the king, kingship of God is assumed. Everywhere in the Scripture, he rules and he reigns throughout history and nature, from the beginning till now and to the end. And he created, and he controls, and he orders, and he holds it together, and he consummates to the end. Okay? His kingship is absolutely assumed. Whether you believe it or not, you will stand before him, before the king, one day, when his kingdom comes, and you will stand before his judgment. You will, whether you believe it or not. You may not believe it. No, I don't believe it. That's up to you. But that's going to be the case, and that's what the Scripture states. So God is the King, sovereign of all creation and history, and his kingship and the kingdom is eternal and absolutely eternal. And your life is in it. He is sovereign over your life. But I don't like my life. I hate my life. I hate the fact that I was born in this kind of family. I've seen so many people say that. I hated the fact that, you know, my mother or father was such a, I don't know. I could never accept him. He was a drunkard. He was someone who abused my mother and children. I hate it. I don't want to believe in the fact that he's sovereign over my life. But the Scripture teaches that amazing thing about that. There is sin and there is evil. There is all kinds of craziness. But God's hand is sovereign above and beyond all of that. The story is the story of Joseph, remember? In the first book of Genesis, he grew up in a pretty crazy family. There was a favoritism. There was hatred in, between the brothers to the fact that they wanted to kill their brother. Does anybody born in home where your brother wanted to kill you? That's hard to find. But that family, right, story of Joseph and children, basically they hated to the fact that they wanted to kill the youngest brother. And youngest brother was a brat, okay? God favored him, but his mouth was uncontrollable. So they wanted to kill him. They literally wanted to kill him. Brothers ganged up and wanted to kill this youngest brother. Second to the youngest, excuse me. So they were going to kill him and throw him in a pit, but God somehow saved him using Reuben. And so they take him out of the pit and sell him to the Ishmaelites and ended up in Egypt, somewhere in Russia somewhere. Can you imagine that? I hate my life, right? And then he was thrown into prison, dungeon, all kinds of craziness. And finally, long story short, he becomes the prime minister of the great nation of Egypt. And then Lord brings famine in the land. He's sovereign. He's king. So all the brothers came to buy food and basically find out that our youngest brother that we wanted to kill is the prime minister. Probably thinking our life is done. We're dead now. Especially after Jacob died. Now he's going to kill us because we did such evil to him. Do you remember that? At the time, Joseph said something amazing. You, brothers, intended to harm me, but God intended for good. Amazing statement. You intended to harm me, but God intended something amazing. Your intention is there. Your purpose is there. Your evilness is there. Your sinfulness is there. Your brokenness is there. Your family is broken. It's a mess. Your life is a mess, but there is a sovereign hand of God over our lives. Isn't that amazing? God is the king. However, when we say, may your kingdom come, we're not talking about kingship. We're talking about salvation and redemption. Two different things. Let me explain it using quoting J.I. Packer. Okay? Very clear. That the Lord is king in the sense of being sovereign over all the world and history is assumed throughout the Bible. That's given, okay? But God's kingship, which is what I just talked about, and his kingdom are different things. The former, kingship, is a fact of creation. Whether you believe it or not, he's the king. He's sovereign. You'll be accountable to him. Okay? And we commonly call that providence. He rules and controls and orders and holds it together. That's why you're sitting here. I didn't want to come. That's why you're sitting here. I didn't want to come to this country. That's why you're sitting here. Because of God's sovereign hand over your life. Okay? But the latter, the kingdom, may your kingdom come, is the reality of redemption or salvation, which is by grace alone. You become part of his kingdom. Which kingdom do you belong to? I'm not sure. That's not good. Who are you? I'm not sure. What do you mean, who are you? I'm Paul Chung. Who are you? What do you live for? I'm not sure. Whatever. I work and I earn money. I buy things, enjoy myself. Is that it? You can't answer any of these, right? In Lord's Prayer, J.I. Packer continues, the kingdom come, may your kingdom come. We use the word in the reality of redemption. In other words, Jesus needs to be the Lord of your life. Otherwise, this is not true for you. You're not part of his kingdom. Okay? What the other one is, thine is the kingdom and power and glory. At the end, we pray that in Lord's Prayer. That's the fact of creation sense, which means he's sovereign. He's the king of all things. I think that's a really good explanation. Really good explanation. His kingship and his kingdom may be two different things. So when we pray, May your kingdom come. We're praying that salvation may come upon your life, your brother's life, your spouse's life, your child's life, in your life. Is Jesus whom you live for? You know, this question was, I dreamt with this word. I woke up this morning, is Jesus whom you live for? I woke up with that. I want to ask you, is Jesus whom you live for? Then you are not kingdom citizen. You're not. You're being too generous and deceiving yourself. Maybe you are being cheated by the enemy, but you're not. His lordship, kingship. So he continues, Packer continues, God's kingdom is not a place, may your kingdom come, but a relationship. What kind of relationship? It exists wherever the people enthrone Jesus as Lord of their lives. Unless Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're not part of the kingdom. You're not. You're part of the other kingdom. When Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, literally means has drawn near, has come. In other words, kingdom has come. The king has come. He meant that the long-promised enjoyment of God's salvation, for which Israel had been waiting, was now there for them to enter into. In other words, kingdom of God has come through coming of Jesus. And you are part of his kingdom if Jesus is the Lord of your life, whom you are living for. Otherwise, you are not part of that kingdom. You're not. You're not. Okay? I don't enjoy saying this, but I look at this as a medical practice. If I see someone who is ill, I can't say you are well. If I see the signs of jaundice and, I don't know, kidney failure, I don't know what those are. If I sense your fatigueness, your eyes just don't have focusness, I can't say you are well. I can't do that. How much more for eternal truth? You see? So that's why Jesus came. Jesus actually came into this world, and he is the king, and he brought the kingdom. He brought the kingdom. Do you remember when he was speaking to Pilate in John chapter 18? Here's a key statement, okay? Pilate was the Roman governor or procurator who sentenced him to take him to Calvary and crucify him. So he was kind of like interrogating him, basically. And Pilate asked really, really good questions that you want to know, okay? Here's the first question. First question comes from Jesus' statement of this. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom, he has a kingdom, which means he's a king. Jesus is the king, and it's my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I may not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. That's a key statement. And then Pilate's incredible question. So are you a king? That's Pilate's question. So are you a king? Jesus answered, as you said, I am a king. I am a king. And my kingdom is not of this world. That is why and how I'm asking you whether you belong to that kingdom. Is Jesus king of your life? If not, you're not part of that kingdom. You're part of the other kingdom. Bible speaks only two kingdoms in this world. And they are in enmity. Okay? Kingdom of God and kingdom of this world. John MacArthur summarized this really, really well and clearly. I hope this is clear to you. I hope this is not fuzzy to you. Okay, he states the greatest opposition to Christ's kingdom and the greatest opposition to Christian living or kingdom citizens is the kingdom of this present world, which Satan rules, period. And the essence of Satan's kingdom, which is the only other kingdom other than the kingdom of God, is opposition to God's kingdom and God's people. Is that clear? If it is clear, would you say amen? People, this is clear. This is clear. We take MRI, we take CAT scans, we take physical exams. With physical exams, it's hard to see what's going on inside, right? So we do our best through CAT scans and MRIs and, I don't know, sonograms and whatnot, to see true condition of you. I remember taking CAT scan of my lower body. Oh, I was a little nervous, you know, because it's going to show everything. And I was a little nervous that, what if something pops up? You know, I had that. But isn't it better to know? Would you rather just brush it off? There are only two kingdoms, people. One is Satan's kingdom, this world, which is in enmity and opposition, and the essence of the kingdom is to fight the kingdom, and the other kingdom is God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom, and Jesus is the king. That is why, unless he is the king and the Lord of your life, you belong to the other kingdom. You're on a train heading toward destruction. And I've been stating this every single week. So are you a king? Jesus answered, as you said, I'm a king. And listen to this. And for this purpose, I was born. I came to this world for this purpose, to be the king, to let you know the truth that there is a kingdom. I was born and for this purpose, and I have come into the world to bear witness to this truth. That is the truth, people. That is not a dreaming. Two kingdoms, two kings is the truth. And you belong to one of the two kingdoms. And then he says, everyone who is of the truth will listen to my voice. Do you listen to him? Or do you just kind of brush it off every week? Youth group, married people, fathers and mothers, doesn't matter where you are in life. I firmly believe you could fully cognate and understand and be blessed as a youth what is being spoken here. I'm fully convinced. I am so busy with children and raising kids. I'm fully convinced that that does not excuse you. Is Jesus king of your life? Jesus came to this world, and the first thing he preached was, repent. Listen, look at me. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come to you. Would you repent and live? Would you continue to be on that train and just kind of brush it off? Jesus said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you're born again, you will not enter into kingdom of heaven. Have you entered into the kingdom of heaven? Have you entered into the kingdom of heaven? Or do you just live? You're not sure? Is that okay? Is that okay not to be sure? You have a great sign of jaundice and, I don't know, some sort of carcinogenic, I don't know, cancer. But I don't know. Is that okay? Would you live that? You'll never do that. You'll be up every night, try to figure out. You will call San and Yoshi all the time, try to figure out. What is this sign? Is that okay? Which kingdom do you belong to and you don't care? Is that okay? So, kingdom, may your kingdom come means Jesus is the Lord and King of your life. So one of the best things I think not one of the best. The best thing you could desire for your spouse is to pray that your spouse, your wife, and your husband, and the kingdom may come upon him or upon her. How many of you do pray that your spouse will come, the kingdom may come to your spouse? Would you say amen? I really pray that you do. I really pray that you do. Imagine a married couple belong to two different kingdoms, two different very, very purpose, two very, very different values, two very, very different king. That's not a happy marriage. That is not a happy marriage. In fact, that's a war. Does that make sense? Can you imagine? You have children. I have three children, grown-up children. And your children may be doing well in this world, making $200,000 a year. Let me raise it up. $300,000 a year. Nobody's impressed. $300,000 a year. He has a doctoral degree. But he belongs to this world, and his king is Satan. Would you be happy with that? I'm not going to be happy with that. I'm not going to be happy with that. In fact, I'll be grieving. Jesus preached when he came, repent, for the kingdom of God is near, and always preached the message of salvation to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I want to just remind you, in other words, the kingdom of God is the Jesus' gospel message. And would you say amen to that? It's not your joyful marriage. It's not your prosperity. It's not your healing of this sick emotion. It's the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God you enter into. And that's what this whole church and history is about, bringing people to his kingdom. Okay? Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is the good news. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God and to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. After he was raised, resurrected, he stuck around for 40 more days and spent mainly with the disciples. What did he do? It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, he stuck around and speaking to the disciples, speaking about the kingdom of God. Church is not something you play around, people. Church is not. Kingdom is present and now, and kingdom is in the future. Obviously, in this world, present world, the world is not reigned by Jesus. In fact, it is reigned by Satan. So if you live just like the rest of the world, basically, Satan is ruling you, basically. Satan is dominating you. Kingdom is present and now and in the future, in a sense that if Jesus is the Lord of your life, kingdom of God is in you. And that's what the church is. Church is made up of Christians who profess and believe that Jesus is the Lord of their lives. And we do our best to receive them as members of this church. Not everyone here is a member. You know that, right? And at the same time, the kingdom eternal is coming. When is it coming? Listen to me. Soon. Soon. That's all the Bible says, what the scripture says. You don't know the time and the hour. So funny. I put up the announcement that we are going to Africa for Lola. And, we're coming in, sometime. And my African brothers, and they love me. They want me to come. And so, when is he coming? When is Pastor Paul coming? And someone said, the hour and the time we do not know. I love that. I'm so excited to go to Africa. Not geographical purpose. I've been to Africa 31 times. 31 times, people. I feel like I'm groomed and shaped in Africa. And I really mean it. I was deacon, dentist. I wasn't even a seminary student or pastor, but going there, allowing God allowing me to preach. I did. So kingdom of God is present and now and future. Jesus, the person of God, rules and reigns as the kingdom of God. But the truth is, he's coming back. Would you look at me? He's coming back. He's coming back. When? Soon. And the hour and the time you do not know. Okay? And when he comes back, what's going to happen? Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord, Yahweh. And everything will consummate. The curtain will come down. Curtain is coming down, people. Your marriage is coming down. Your career is coming down. Your saving up means nothing unless you use it for the kingdom. What's the purpose of saving up and you want your stock? You're so losing sleep for your stock. And I heard from many of you who are there. Maybe you are still there right now. You wake up and check it in the middle of the night because the Asian market, European market. You're crazy for these crazy things. You're not well, people. You're not well. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. What would happen if you pray that prayer? May your kingdom come. I want to give you three things. Listen carefully, people. What would happen if you pray that your kingdom come? By the way, let me ask you this question. How many of you are willing to and you desire to pray, may your kingdom come? Would you say amen? Amen. I don't know about you, but that's been my prayer. That's been my prayer. I want to live for the Lord. I don't have to be a dentist and whatnot. What would happen if you pray that prayer? If you're praying that your kingdom come, which I believe all true born-again Christians should desire and live for, okay? Three things. Number one, the first thing that's going to happen as you draw close to the heart of God and commune with him and you live, you know what's going to happen? It's going to happen to you first. It's going to happen to you first. If it is not happening, then you are not desiring. I want my wife to be a true believer. I want my wife to really be born again. I want my child to live. If you really pray that, that's going to bypass you? Does that make any sense to you? I want my mother, I want my father to be saved. I want kingdom to come upon my life. And that's going to bypass you? Makes no sense, right? It's going to happen in your life, in your own life, meaning you will desire greatly and purely for the will of God to be upon your life in all the areas of your life, including the great purpose, the big purpose of your life. Is that what you're living for? I share in Korean service, I went to John Choi's office. Is John Choi here? Oh, okay. I thought he sneaked out, I thought. I went to his office. He just opened up a private practice. And we had a little worship service with Christy and John's parents. And I really enjoyed it. You know, this is the dream that they've been praying for. Now they have own practice. And Christy's parents are there and John's parents are there. And basically, I was just deja vu. 35 years ago, I opened my practice as a young dentist and someone who wants to follow the Lord. And I remember sharing at John's office. When I opened my practice, I had an appointment book with no patients. Empty. Who's coming in tomorrow? It's empty. Nobody. And I remember writing it down on my appointment book on the first day. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then my own logo. Lord, anytime, anywhere. What I meant was, if Lord calls me to go to retreat, missions, praise leading, whatever, teaching, whatever, I'm going to go anytime, anywhere. And I said to myself, Lord, I want to give 10 weeks of my life every year and to serve you. 10 weeks out of 52 weeks. I was a self-employed, so I take whenever I take off, right? I don't have 2 weeks to begin with. I have 10 weeks to begin with. Okay. And you know what? I was able to live something like that for 17 years. And I did okay as a practice. Think about it. Those of you who have a private practice, if you're away so much, your patients don't like it. There could be emergencies. There could be a lot of things happening. But Lord, sustained and blessed. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. May your kingdom come. If you pray, you know what's going to happen? It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to your marriage. Is your marriage about kingdom? Or is kingdom about your marriage? What? Is your marriage about the kingdom? Would you say amen if you agree with that? Yeah, I hear. Very unclear. Is your marriage about your kingdom? I pray that it is clear. If it is not clear, you're going to abuse this truth, and you're going to try to use God, and you're going to fail. Okay? What about your parenting? What's the purpose? You know, Bible is very, very clear. Children are inheritance from the Lord. They belong to the Lord. That's not yours. My children are not mine. They belong to the Lord. My parents, do you desire the kingdom to come upon your parents? I really want my mother to love Christ more than anything at this stage. And that was her life and that was her prayer. What about your job? Job is where you pay the bill, make money and pay the bill. No, it's not. Job is where you go and shine in the darkness. If not, you don't know anything about what Christianity is. Job is not where you go and just keep your mouth closed and just get the money and you move every 1 to 2 years, whoever pays me more, so that you could pay the bill and you could buy a house. That's the world. You're not living like a kingdom citizen at all. Your possession, your house, your finance, and your money, it's for the kingdom. It's not yours if Jesus is the Lord and the King of your life. Your hobby, your traveling, your spending. You know, we'll be traveling to Africa this year. And we pay attention carefully when the worship service is. And we don't travel during worship time. Doesn't matter how much money we save. Someone offers you a job. It's another 5,000 grand a year. But it's gonna ask you to do something that your conscience is questionable of. And it's gonna make you work on Sabbath and Lord's Day. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Just to save money. Come on, people of God. Are you a kingdom citizen? Is this Jesus the King of your life? Is He whom you're living for? Or you're crazy about money? Right? And of course, the church life. What's going to happen to you, to your life if you pray, may the kingdom come? It's going to happen to your life first. You know why it's not happening? Because you are not desiring that. You are not praying that. Secondly, as you pray your kingdom come, you know what's going to happen? Your will turn to His will. That's what prayer is. Remember in Gethsemane, Jesus was praying, and Jesus was going to the cross, and Jesus prayed, Lord, not my will, but Thy will. Imagine, what do you mean, my will, not my will, but Thy will? Did Jesus desire to not go to the cross? Apparently that thought came into His flesh. But he was praying that not my will, but Thy will. So what happened in the prayer in Gethsemane? His will was turned, strengthened, and fortified to His will so that you could follow. So what happens if there is no prayer, if there is no desire? What's going to happen? There is no God's desire, God's will upon your life. You always live your own will and your desire. That's what you do. Why? Because you are the king of your life. That's how kingdom of this world works. Sin by nature is autonomous. You want your kingship. You say, yeah, I need to do that, but you never do. I need to get off the train, but you never do. I need to hand over the lordship of Christ, but you never do. You just kind of brush it off. Okay? You know what's going to happen if you continue to pray? You will seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. And I wrote it down on the first day of my practice, private practice. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I used to drive a Honda Accord. Wherever that Clark says 632, I was like, 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Yes, that's what I'm living for. Third and lastly, what's going to happen to your life? Listen to me, people. If you're far from this, listen to me. Otherwise, you live, I don't know, which kingdom do you live for? Third and finally, when you pray, your kingdom come, you will live life a life of loving and obedience. You will never obey without loving him. You know why you don't obey him? Because you don't love him. Loving God and obeying God is not two different things. Remember Jesus said, whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Loving God and obeying God is one thing. If you pray this prayer, you will fall in love with him. You know why? Because he first loved you with all of his love. You'll fall in love with him. You know why you don't obey? Let me say it again. Because you don't love him. You know why you brush it off? You know why you delay it? You love something else more. That's why. You will live a life of loving obedience, which you will gladly, you will do it with joy. You're not going to like, oh. No, I don't think so. Nobody comes to the prayer meeting, oh, like that. You love him and you will come. You will obey. Gladly and thankfully, giving all to the king. Are you willing to do that? Giving all to the king. Anybody willing to do that? And if you really mean it, would you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to hear yourself, people. I really want you to hear yourself. Are you willing to do that? You'll be not loosely, look at this, listen to this, loosely live like, go up and down, but you'll be committed and you'll be faithful, don't you think? How do you build a church with loose people? Can you put up a little league baseball team with loose children? You could never do that. How do you put a church together fighting the kingdom with loose people? You will desire and follow as a follower or disciple of Christ. Listen to this. And you would desire. You will become Timothy's of a local church. And some of you understand what that means. And I hope you understand that. Lord, I want to be a Timothy's of this church. One day, perhaps, I'll become little Paul raising up Timothy's. You will desire that. Otherwise, church is loose. Whenever I come, if I have this, if I have a job situation, if I have a party, if I travel, church is not your priority. You will love and live for the kingdom and long for the kingdom now, here, and in the future. And you will desire that. And you will be vibrant. you will be excited. Just a final thought, okay? We're going to be studying 1 Peter in a few weeks, and I ask you to read 10 times. It doesn't take a long time. It takes 20, 30 minutes to read once. So 10 times is not that much. But I want to share from something, 1 Peter chapter 2, and listen to this. It's just like a little preview relating to everything that we're talking about, your kingdom come. This is what Peter said to Christians who were persecuted in the Roman Empire, which is sort of like what it is right now. Really close to Roman Empire. America is not a Christian nation. It's a pagan nation. This government and country does not respect God. It does not, okay? So don't deceive yourself. Let's go back to the Puritan. No. Okay? This is what he said to Christians scattered as diaspora all over the Roman Empire. And this is his encouragement. Listen to this. But you are a chosen race. You have been chosen out of 8 billion people. If you go outside and ask people what they believe in, and you know, we've been out, evangelism for Love Hicksville Ministry. It's hard to find one person who understands the gospel. One person. Okay? But you have been chosen. If you understand this, if you're part of that kingdom citizen, you have been chosen out of 8 billion people. 8 billion people. You've been chosen race, and you are royal priesthood. Why am I royal? Because my father is the king. Okay? And you are a holy nation. It's a kingdom of God. It's a holy. Holy means, yes, purity, but separated. You're not part of that. Holy nation. A people for his own possession. We belong to the Lord. Why? So that you may proclaim. Proclaim, people. Look at me, folks. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of kingdom of darkness into his marvelous kingdom of light. Kingdom of this world is kingdom of darkness. Look at me. You look dark if you are in that kingdom. You look dark. You cannot help but to look dark. Dark people, dark thoughts. You don't care about anything. Kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. The word marvelous is wondrous, wondrous light. There's only two kingdom people, two kingdom. Is your spouse part of that dark kingdom or the marvelous kingdom of light? Is your son or daughter part of that kingdom of darkness or kingdom of light? Is your father and mother, who may have just a few more years to live, is part of that kingdom of darkness or kingdom of light? Are you? Which kingdom? Which kingdom do you belong to? So you may proclaim the excellencies of who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. You belong to God's kingdom. Once you are not yet received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And I circle now twice. Once you are nothing out of a billion people. You die and then you become dust. But now you're God's people. Glorious people. Our body will turn glorious people. Your lowly body will turn to be like his glorious body. And then he finishes, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. I want to explain this. Sojourners, which means foreign citizens, which means if you're a Christian, you are not citizens of this world. You're not. Don't try to make a lot of money in this world. That's not the purpose of your presence in this world. You're sojourners and exile, which means someone who came into this country from other country. That's who we are. We are chosen. We are royal. We are holy and belong to the Lord. At the same time, we are sojourners and exiles. And that's who you are. Don't get confused, people. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Don't get confused. Don't confuse the world. I go to church, but you look like citizens of this world. Don't confuse the people. The king will not be happy about that. I'm telling you. King is not happy about that. Okay? To abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. You know why your soul is in war right now? Because of the passions of this world. That's why you wake up middle of the night, check stock market. You can't go to sleep. Waging war against your soul. And I ask you to surrender and live. I want to just close. Prayer is to commune with God. And that is to be alive. Are you alive? Are you alive? Even in the prayer meetings, people fall asleep. It's okay. At least you desire to learn. Remember, praying is, to learn to pray is like to learn to swim. You could watch Michael Phelps a million times, you could never learn how to swim. You need to get into the water. Start moving and maneuvering, praying, and you learn how to swim. Brothers and sisters, this is the season of your life. Season of your life. Some of you have another 50 years to go. Some of you may have less than 5 years to go. I don't know. This is the season of your life to learn, to commune with God and live. And my prayer is, may your kingdom come. New Heart Mission Church will only be standing when you and the next generation is on your knees and communing with the Lord. All the other people are not really helping. If you think about it, they're not really helping. I really encourage you to come and commune with the Heavenly Father and live. Let's pray.